Thank you, Darlene. How's everyone doing? All right? Good morning. So my name is Brian. I'm on staff here at Park with the ministry Park Cares, and glad to be with you. I only get to do this a couple times of the year, so hang with me. You'll also notice I have a cold, so maybe if I keep talking, it's going to get worse, and maybe that's a good sign. It'll get better. But yeah, it is Christmas, New Year's Eve. I'm always a big believer. Yeah, you want to come up here? We should probably get like a 2-week trial period, you know, on our New Year's resolutions. You know, kind of try them out for a couple weeks. That's right. Oh, it's cute. Thank you, Bill. Let me see if I can. It reminds me of this guy, speaking of resolutions, he decided to make a gymnasium called Resolutions. And after 2 weeks, it turns into an espresso bar. So, you know, you're right at home. You know, you go for the gym for 2 weeks and then you give it up. Anyway, let's hope we do make some good resolutions that can stick with us. But we're in this season, which often has been called Christmastide. Christmastide is when you have a season in between Christmas Day and the next time. We're still singing carols, we're still able to be together, and we're able to not rush off into the craziness, which is waiting us. What's up, Andres? So let's cherish this. This is the last time we'll get to sing these songs and to hear the story. This is a story of the wise men coming by the star. It's found in Matthew chapter 2. It's one we know very well. And I pray that we, as we listen to God's word, that God's word would speak to us. And continue to pray for me as I'm able to keep my voice up. Hear now God's word to us. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go also and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening up their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Lord's Messiah. So we hear the story, wise men came from the east. We should ask, because we're so familiar with it, well, where exactly were these guys from, these mysterious figures? From research, we find out most likely they were astrologists. They studied the heavens. They were constantly looking up to see where wisdom would point them. And they thought the way to find life was to look up at the stars. Some of them were called magicians. In fact, the word magi comes from the same word we have in English, from Greek, for a magician. Some think that's who they were. But at the end of the day, they were people who were renowned. One Roman historian named Tacitus put it this way. This is how he described the Magi. They had tried to find in the heavens answers for the profound yearnings within themselves. Let me read that again. A clue about the Magi. They had tried to find in the heavens answers for the profound yearnings they had within themselves. Sounds familiar, right? I mean, think about it. Ever since we've been little, all the way up to our adulthood, there's something about the heavens, right? From Galileo all the way back to the lunar eclipse, where you know some people went all the way to Oregon, you know, just to check it out. I mean, it was crazy. People continue to look up, right? I mean, you think about it. We look up. Why? Why do we look up? We're looking for something that speaks to the yearning within our own hearts. Some of you may be familiar with what this is. Anybody? The Cassini capsule. This is the most recent pictures of Saturn's rings. Cassini was launched by NASA and Italian astronomers, and they were able to capture these pictures of Saturn before Cassini burned into Saturn's atmosphere. The thing that was so powerful, and you can go online, there's so many of these pictures, that there was this corporate sigh of pain and mourning when you see the people at Cassini's headquarters finally see this thing die. They no longer had any more pictures. It was almost like a religious experience. These people are looking for something deep within their souls that maybe the heavens can give them answer to, huh? How about that? Well, I would say people haven't changed. People still have that longing. Something that cuts across all times and all cultures. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He was a Christian apologetic and a writer. He used to be an atheist. Here's one of Lewis's great quotes. If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. Pretty cool, huh? That something in this world cannot satisfy. Some yearning that transcends all people, all cultures. This longing that pushes us past this world. But we just don't know what it is. And Lewis said the best word he can come up with wasn't even English. It was a German word. And the closest translation is homesickness. Kind of like what Matt was reading earlier. We want our home with God. It's like when we're at the Christmas table and we're gathering with our family at Christmas time. We know it's a gift to have our family around us, but this longing points to something beyond our family. Or when we go to hear a great musical and we're listening to this amazing piece of music, and yet something is calling us beyond the music. Or when we experience pain and loss and suffering, and we realize somehow, some way, suffering is not the last word. God's going to transcend even our own suffering. This is the fact, this clue that we're made for a different world, amen, and that is drawing us to Jesus. And so on that first Christmas, Matthew tells the story of these non-Jews. They weren't even part of Israel, from far away, probably from Persia, which is now Iran. Following their longing, they say, we have seen the star in its rising, and we have come to worship him. Now, where does Matthew recognize that picture from? It's a prophet, a prophecy that was given to the people during Isaiah's time. Remember, they were dragged off by the Babylonians. They were in captivity. And by the time you get to Isaiah chapter 60, they are brought back. I'm going to now read you a part of that now. This is Isaiah 60, spoken to those who return to Jerusalem. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord shall risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Okay, great. So far, so good. The people come back to Jerusalem. They've been in slavery and captivity. Where is this good news? It says, nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your son shall come from far away, and your daughter shall be carried on their nurse's arms. This is a picture of the captives coming back. Verse 5. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you, and the wealth of the nations shall come to you. They're wondering, when did this picture come to be fulfilled? And this one we should recognize. A multitude of camels shall come to you. Sound familiar? And young camels of Midian, Ephrah. All those from Sheba shall come. Yes, and they shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The Israelites are saying, we came back. When did this happen? Did this happen around Jerusalem? And Matthew's response is, no, you're right. The gold that showed the wealth of the kings of the nations, the frankincense that was a specialty within Arabia, the camels of Midian, none of that happened around Jerusalem, but it happened around the child. That's where it was fulfilled, in Bethlehem, when God sent a star to a non-Jewish group of guys, and they were the ones. They were so far away that God had to send a star to bring them nearby. Friends, this is a picture of the deep, longing heart of God to bring others to himself. This is a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ that reaches so far and so wide that God longs for people from every tribe, tongue, and nation to know him, not just people who are nearby. So, that first Christmas, it was a big international cross-cultural event. God sent a star to them. And for 2,000 years, this is the story. From the small band of scared men and women, they went out from Jerusalem. Thomas went to India. Others went to parts of Spain, Northern Europe, till eventually the gospel infiltrated all of Europe, then was brought to the United States, then to Africa, Asia. Now we see parts of the church thriving in ways that we don't even experience here in America. It's amazing. Even groups so far away that, like the ancestors of the Magi, who we would say in Persia today are mostly what? Muslims. Now, we would think they're probably the enemies of Christianity. That's often what we hear about Islam. But look closer. There's an anthropologist in the 1930s who studied tribes and Bedouin tribes in northern Africa. And he talked to them, and they called themselves, ready for this? The Planeteers. That was their name. And he said to them, why do you call yourself the Planeteers? And they said, because our ancestors followed a star that led them to the prophet Isa. And Isa is Arabic for Jesus. Now, they call him a prophet, but it shows the bridges were built, that God draws from what we know to build a star, to build a way to see his son, Jesus. God's heart is to draw all kinds of people to know him. People who seem so far away, we think they're the least likely to come to Christ, people from other nations. But ever since the first century and generations following, people are out there waiting, and missionaries are going to let them know, we are sending a star to you. Like a tribe in Papua New Guinea in the 1960s, they're called the Sawis. This story is amazing. It's recorded in Don Richardson's book, The Peace Child. See, the Sawis were warring tribes with each other in Papua New Guinea for many, many generations, and they did revenge killing. Basically, one tribe would take another of the other members and kill them, and then that would just continue back and forth, and there was never any peace. When Don Richardson and his wife arrived there, he found out about their story, and he found out this belief, this story that they had about peace, which was something called a peace child. They believed if tribe A would offer a child, an infant, and let tribe B raise that child, and then tribe B would offer their child to the other tribe, there would finally be no more revenge killing. He said, this is what we're waiting for. We're waiting for a peace child, for one to be offered to the other. Well, Don Richardson listened. He said, I think I know who your peace child is. He told them the story of Jesus. And they realized that this one peace child would be the last peace child they'd ever need. And there was reconciliation among those people at Papua New Guinea. And the church exploded. Read his story called The Peace Child. People's deepest longings are met. God sent a star. And the fact is, the church is thriving in other parts of the world that we can learn so much from them. Pretty soon you'll be hearing about the new movement among our community groups in January. It's something called Rooted. But when you get your participants' cover, your manual rather, this is what the cover looks like. It's written in 9 different languages to show how international, how multicultural the church is, to see what God is doing, transforming lives in ways that we may not see as much here in the United States or in Europe. Let's face it, in Europe, a lot of churches are now museums. It's really sad. When you get your book, you'll see some of their authors. There are 2 from Africa, 1 from Sri Lanka, and another from Mexico, telling their stories about the power of the gospel. God sent a star to people far away to draw them near. Amen. I don't know about you, but it's good news to know that God's longing to reach people could so traverse a distance, people that seem so far removed. You hear the stories that you'll hear in Rooted. You hear the stories like in Peace Child. So, what does that mean for us today? If God can do that, how much more He wants to do it? If God is able to do a one-time international profit-fulfilling experience of sending a star, He could certainly draw people to Himself again today. God still sends stars today, like you and me, not just once in a lifetime. He sends stars in ordinary ways to ordinary people in ordinary situations, like people shopping at the mall, or people at skate parks, those meeting in boardrooms, those going to a 12-step meeting, those parents meeting at a soccer game. God still sends stars. I'm thinking about recently our community group. We had a gather. We did our Christmas Connect. You know, we bought gifts for a needy family. And we decided to wrap our gifts up at Wegmans. We went up to the second floor. Cool place to hang out. You ever go up there? I recommend it. And we had our shopping list, and we had our gifts, and we had our scissors, and we had our tape and paper. And this woman with her child were saying, "What are you all doing? Where are you from?" And we said, we're Park Church. You know, we're hanging out. This is our community group, and we are preparing to get some gifts for a family. And she said, "You know, I'm Jewish, but I don't go to synagogue. But you know, I may consider going to a place like that. I like what you guys are doing." God still sends stars. Think about it. What a distance. If God reaches people from so far away, can't He do it again in Monmouth County? Even in a place where we are so used to church being business as usual, where a lot of people just stay home, right? God says, if I could do that, I can fill this place. I can allow you to bring others to myself. Absolutely. God still wants to send stars. I know He did to me. He sent one in my life. When I was 17 years old, a junior at Manasquan High School, struggling, yeah, confused, yeah, lost, yeah, in a pot-induced haze, getting in trouble with the police. I was lost like a kid on a summer camp who loses his flashlight out in the woods and couldn't find his way back. I don't know where I was going. And that star's name was Chris Franklin. He was a senior, and everyone knew he was a Jesus freak. Everyone knew to get away from him. But one day, he had me in the cafeteria and said, "Brian, you know, someone's been looking for you." I said, "Who's that?" He goes, "His name is Jesus." And he opened up his Bible, and I couldn't move. I wanted to run, but I just couldn't move. And he just shared the gospel with me. And the next summer, I gave my life to Christ. And it wasn't for Chris Franklin being sent to me. I probably wouldn't have gone to campus ministry, probably would not have gone to seminary and become a pastor, and then find my way finally to Park Church. God still sends stars. Now, we may have a hard time imagining some people in our life who are so hardened to the gospel, right? We prayed for them, family members, people who have not yet shown faith, but they can still happen. I mean, those magi, they had a literal come to Jesus moment, right? They came to Jesus, literally, right? I mean, that was their moment. If God can do that, even the people that's taken so long that we think, God, how can you ever bring them to yourself? Don't give up. Keep praying for them. God still can send stars to them. Now, I want to leave you with a couple challenges before we leave. The first is, don't stay home. Don't stay home. If you're going to be sent, go forth. The church has gotten complacent. The church that, well, a lot like the scribes that Matthew described in that text. Do you remember what he said? He said King Herod was frightened. He called to get all the chief priests and the scribes. These are the people that knew their Bible. They knew Christianity. They knew the faith. They were very comfortable, right? And what happened? They told, oh yeah, this is where Messiah was to be born. They knew their Bible, but guess what? They stayed home. They didn't go to Bethlehem. Do you notice that? They stayed. Now, why? Was it because of fear or complacency or unbelief? We're not sure. But the fact is, they could not travel from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, unlike the wise men who came all the way from Persia, right? So think about it. Let's make sure we don't stay home. Look for ways to be sent. Ask yourself, Lord, I want to be among those who are longing for something. They're yearning in their heart. They don't know where it comes from. Lord, who will be their star? Who will be his star? Who will be her star? How can I lead them to Jesus? It may be the person, that neighbor over your backyard fence who you kind of always walk past. It may be that play date with a parent that you really aren't too crazy about. Maybe that's the star that you will become to him or to her. It may be at the work cafeteria, that person who kind of eats lunch by themselves. Maybe they need a star sent to them. Or it could be in your community group, where you realize there's other ways to attract people, to invite them. They may not come here on Sunday morning, but they may come to your community group. So, first, don't stay home. Be a star that's sent. And secondly, make sure your star rests on Jesus. Because otherwise, what are we pointing to? You may be all excited, but unless you are resting on Jesus, if you're always flitting around and moving, then what are we going to point to? This is telling of myself, because I realize in my days lately, I have not slowed down. I'm working 2.5 jobs. I get concerned that people see me more in motion than being still. And I don't want to blur my star when it comes over the face of Jesus. So I want to be able to say, I'm resting on Jesus. I have a calm about my life. I want to be able to say, Lord Jesus, let people find me resting in you. Amen? Right? My life is centered in you and not off in something else. And I think we're only going to be attractive to Jesus if we're resting in Jesus, right? That's when people will see Jesus in our life. So keep that in mind. Finally, I'd like to end with a message from the Chinese church. We've been kind of international today. There's an interesting word that has come powerfully for the church in China, which is still illegal, but it is thriving unbelievably. The way we learn at the body of Christ throughout the world. And this word, I think it's pronounced like Zhang Chui. It's two words in Chinese for crisis. These two characters together come together to form the word crisis. Now, we think of our future. We don't know where 2018 is going, for example, where God has for Park. We may think we're in crisis, we're in transition. But there's a wonderful truth about these two characters, and this is it. The first character means danger, But the second means opportunity, right? So with every crisis, there is an opportunity to grow. Amen? What is it that God is calling us to do? We have a brand new year. We have a chance to be resolved in 2018 to be people of faith, to be stars that are sent. God wants to send stars still. And you are that star. You are that star. You are that star. And I am that star. They looked in the heavens for the profound yearnings that they had inside themselves. People still have those yearnings. Imagine someone in 2018 saying to you, I saw Christ's star rising upon you, and I've come to worship him. I want that said about us at Park Church. What a resolve. Imagine someone saying, I want to see Christ's star rising in you. Now, I haven't led someone to faith in Christ in a while, and my prayer that I will lead someone to Christ in 2018. I hope that could be your prayer as well. So, Lord, take our 2018. And as the band comes forward, I invite you to think about this truth. That God still sends stars. He still is sending you to people who are lost. People who are so lost. Would you be a star today? Let's pray. So, Lord God, take our 2018 as a community of faith. Thank you that you speak to the deep longings in our hearts. Lord, that's something this world can't give us, but you do. Father, we got complacent at times, we confess. We pray that you'd stir us up. You'd give us a longing. You'd remind us of what it means to be lost. You'd tell us by faith that you could do great things, that you long to reach all kinds of people. So Lord, for our neighbors, for students, for other people in our life, for family that have been hard in their hearts to come to you, oh Lord, do it great. Lord, help us keep praying for them, that you would send stars. We pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.